A test is a familiar one. We know it well because of that little phrase, speaking the truth in love. It's one that we come to time and again. But in the larger sense, it's this ode to what it is to be people together. And that's what we'll be sitting with today. You'll be happy to know that Luke has reached the why stage. May the Lord have mercy on us all. It's both infuriating and wonderful. On one hand, I love it. His natural curiosity blooms and flows as he's curious about everything and everyone. The kid just doesn't stop. It's always there. And sometimes it catches you by surprise. The other night we happened to be looking at a science book together that had an image of a nuclear explosion. And the other thing I know, I'm trying to explain the intrinsic insanity of global war to a four-year-old. It's always why, what, and sometimes, well, just because never suffices. It's left me wondering, when do we stop doing this? When do we say, well, we know enough that we don't have to be asking these questions anymore? I'm sure we all get the basics and it's all there. But that fundamental curiosity, sometimes it's something that I wonder what we miss when we pack it away like the toys of yesteryear. Do we just stop asking because the questions and the answers aren't necessarily there, or because we just get too busy to do it anyways? There's something fundamentally human about why and the questions that it brings. I think there's another reason why this stops. Sometimes we don't want to hear the answer. We get a little bit tired of the complexity and the ideas that get in the way. Sometimes we just want to know the basic facts and not the full history and the ways and means of things. Which, pity them, Luke and Anna, because their dad is a geek. They're going to get it all, every time. Sorry about that. But complexity can be the downfall of a good question. Sometimes we need to give what's true and what matters just on the basic level. I think this is especially true in faith. We become so accustomed to the whys and wherefores and the creeds and the explanations and all the histories that have built up over the centuries that we forget the most basic rationale that we always have. Why? Because Jesus. Because God. Simply because we follow the one Christ in God who calls us to do things, everything else comes. And it can be fruitful to think in those simpler terms. Remember back to Easter. That was April, or 6 crises ago, if you're keeping track. We're all in a time warp, but now. It's one of those holidays that we approach as special and wonderful and embracing, but also in very traditional ways. Year in, year out, we do the Easter thing. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. It's something that we chant when we read the creeds of the church, telling the story again. And we do that and we get on with life. But what goes unsaid is the most important thing. And that is this. That because Christ died and because Christ lives on, the world is different and we are different now and until the end of time. Everything else is simply because Jesus. At the end of all of our arguments, at the end of all our clever logic and theological treatises, that's what counts. That we believe and we follow the one true God in the best way that we know how. Everything else is there. We're Jesus people following faithfully the example of what it means to be people in the kingdom. We are to be little Christs, what Christian really means, and we lead the Master in all things, big and small. I think we do well from time to time to come back to these basic assertions that we can get and far away from with the complicated ideas and to say, because of Jesus. We can put on a pretty good show, and when it comes to explaining ourselves to each other, we can get awfully precise and awfully insistent about what it means to be on our particular team. It's always an interesting thing to answer the telephone at the church. I've found this over the years and long experience because what people sometimes come up with amazes me. One time I just answered the phone and the request was very simple. Pastor, will you bless me? Somebody I had never met, never heard of, didn't know what to do, and so you bless them. It's weird and it's odd. The other day I had another such of these calls. It was from a student at a Catholic college in Minnesota. She had come to know Menno's for the sale, which she had attended from time to time, coming from Western Idaho, I believe. And she came to appreciate and admire all the MCA is. So when she, in her theology classes, needed to write a paper about believers' baptism, she came right to the horse's mouth. And she called up and said, can you explain this? She wanted to know why we did not baptize and what it all meant. It led to this fascinating conversation where I tried to be honest about the highs and lows of our ideals and what it all means and what all can be there. What I tried to say to her is this. We want to be Jesus followers first and foremost, and that is a character that must be chosen by each individual and lived in over time. They got stickier when it came to history and identity and how we got there, all that, but that was the basic idea. We want to follow Jesus, and that's what we're saying in the form of baptism. But she would also say, well, because Jesus, it's important for me to be invited into the family of Christ from the very first day, come what may. And that's important too. It got me wondering about identity and history and how we can sometimes wear our team colors, whatever our team happens to be, and miss the most basic explanations that they are. These are days where identity and the pitfalls of it are being unwrapped, and we are seeing the deep wounds of the past quite often as they've been infected and caused great pain. And not saying that we don't examine the things that make us who we are and make us different from each other and have the good conversation. But we also cannot lose the basic identity of the most essential explanation that we have. Who are we? We are who we are because Jesus is Jesus. From that, everything else flows out in both clear and complex ways. All this sounds good. But we also need to remember how radical of a statement that we were making when we were saying that we are the body. Because whenever we say that there is a body, when there is a group, we are saying this is a set, a group that is and has an identity apart from all others. And if we say, because Jesus, we are this, we also might be saying, because Jesus, others are not this. But when we start thinking about our identity in the body of Christ, it's this huge thing that we come to time and again, and it can be impressive to think about. We're invited into a body of Christ which is far bigger than anything that we can ever imagine. And it places us on a team which we may like some of our teammates and we may not, but yet we still have to say, thus is the body. We know how broad a field that can be. I often think of my colleagues who specialize in faith healing. And there's this part of me that really, really admires that. It's not my gift. It's not my reality. And it's not going to be. And frankly, I end up being a little bit suspicious of it all. But at the end of the day, I don't get to say they are not part of the body. Because it's not mine to say. Even within the exceedingly narrow category of Anabaptist Christianity, we know that there are beliefs and divides in churches and denominations that divide sometimes even brother from brother and family from family. When we make the statement, because Jesus we are one, as a theological truth, to only apply to this little narrow idea, we're missing the Jesus part of it that would drag us into something far bigger than what we can ever imagine. It's the simplest of all statements, but it's also the biggest of all and challenging of all. That we're bound together as one body beyond our imagination, even as we're still within groups that hold individual accountability, ethics, and standards as primary virtues. All that is right there. So what am I going on with here? It's simply this. We think of our fundamental statements as simplifying everything, and in a certain degree that they do. We must always come back to the fundamental truths that make us who we are. Because Jesus binds us together, we are given a work of understanding the who us happens to be on a day-to-day basis may well be beyond our control and beyond our definition. Because as we are gathered in the name of Christ, it becomes really big. As Paul writes, where two or three are gathered, and Jesus affirms, where two or three are gathered, the Spirit is given. To which I generally add, and conflict follows shortly thereafter. Paul's advice to the church of Ephesus rings true. Our work is to do the unity of Christ, to acknowledge the fundamental truth of oneness, and to disagree in love. It can be difficult to hold both the oneness of Christ and the reality of division in both hands. But friends, that's the way it's been since day one, quite literally. And we don't need to fear this messiness. If anything, it gives a more genuine view to the world about what it means to be the body of Christ. I think Menno does this well. We do body well because we want everyone to come along from where they are and as they are and to be part and be in. And it's a gift to us here, but we also know it's a challenge. And we do well to hold up both and, especially in these days where history seems to be hiccuping. The body remains because Jesus, and because Jesus, the work of the body is to display the hands and feet of the Savior to whom all might see. The good news is this. I try as I might to make it my body, whomever I might be. The body is not ultimately mine. It's Christ's body. It's Jesus' church. And come what may, Jesus will see the church and the body grow in the way it needs to grow. As such, however we would define the we, and however it's defined for us particularly, there's a larger meaning of the body of Christ that we need to know and need to identify, that Christ himself is the head, and all else is there. Jesus died to save everyone, and because of that reality, everyone is the body. The body exists to be Christ in the world, and we can stand amazed as it shapes itself in ways that we may not even expect. Because Jesus, we are one. It's that simple. It's that complicated. It's that messy. And it's just that wonderful that God's working in Christ saves us and brings us into a new truth each day that we cross every line, group, and division that we could ever erect. Thanks be to God, for it is God's work and not our imperfect attempts that accomplish this. It is marvelous in our sight.